Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it. Today, we're excited to be joined by Cassandra Cody Grantham, otherwise known as my friend Cassie. We have known each other for a very long time. You were 2000 Mitchell Scholar from Falmouth High School. I was 99. And so we met in the early days of the Mitchell Institute and have known each other ever since. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So glad to have you here and would love to just kind of start at the beginning. That's where we usually go. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up in Falmouth. We know that. What was that like? What was your high school experience like? And if you remember when you heard about the Mitchell Institute scholarship.
Sure. So I grew up in a family that was full of educators, and my mom was a teacher. My dad was a principal. My grandmother was a teacher. My aunt was a teacher. So from a very early age, education was extremely important to my family. And I went K to 12 through the Falmouth schools, which a lot of times is very rare these days to go to one school for all of your years. But it was kind of idyllic, honestly. I had a really wonderful experience in the Falmouth schools. It was back when things weren't quite as big. I think I graduated with 95 or so kids in my class, and now we're up over, I think, 150 to 180 kids per class. So it's much different. I used to call it a cheers town where everyone knew your name because I could run down the street and literally have lots of people yelling at me out their windows. And that felt really lovely. It was also sometimes a little bit difficult because you always felt like you were on stage. But for the most part, it was wonderful. My grandparents lived across the street from me. My aunt and uncle lived next door to me on the other side. And so, you know, really a lot of wonderful influences in my whole trajectory of childhood. And when I got into high school and was starting to figure out what I wanted to do after high school, I knew that my family would need a little bit of help as teachers. You know, my parents did just fine. I didn't want for anything, that's for sure. But college was going to be a big expense. And so I was hopeful that I might be able to find some money to help me get through. And so when I was looking for different scholarships, I happened upon the Mitchell Institute. And my mother, of course, it really encouraged me to apply. I really didn't know what it meant. I just thought, well, geez, $4,000 is $4,000, because back in the day, it was $1,000 per year. And you had to go to a main college. And I was going to Colby. And so I applied and was accepted and went to the initial like brunch up at Orono and met the senator and thought, wow, this is really neat. But honestly, it wasn't quite as, we weren't as connected, I think, as scholars when we were in college as a lot of folks are now, which is really exciting. So I kind of met a few folks there, and that's how I got initially connected.
And I know you were connected throughout after that in different ways. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But I know that after high school, you went on to Colby College. You also studied at Emerson after that. Do you want to talk us through what went into the decision-making process around those two schools?
Yeah, sure. So it was a really hard decision for me, actually, where to go to school, because I was fortunate enough to be offered a rather large scholarship to UMaine. And I was also accepted early decision into Colby. And I knew that both schools would be phenomenal, but I really wanted to go to Colby, and it was going to be challenging for my family to pay for. But they really encouraged me to follow my heart. And so I ended up there. And again, it was just an incredible experience. I got very involved in, I ran cross country and indoor and outdoor track, which I never would have been able to do at a bigger school. I'm an okay runner. I'm not a fabulous runner. So it was wonderful to get that opportunity to keep doing what I loved athletically. And then I became involved actually in it was called SHOC, student health on campus. And we did a lot of health education and promotion around school. And I got to know the women's health nurse practitioner really well at Colby, and I was pre-med at the time, going through sort of my prerequisites to go to medical school, and got to organic chemistry, which ends up being a stumbling block for many folks, and realized that I was pushing myself to do something that I was interested in the concept of medicine. I was interested in the concept of public health and in wellness and in helping people achieve their health goals, but I wasn't really all that interested in the nitty-gritty clinical and science part of it as much as I thought I might be. And so this individual who, probably down the line, I think I'm going to get to tell or offer some advice to you all as scholars and alums, hopefully. And one of the things that really influenced my decision of what I was going to do next was the relationship I had with this person, this nurse practitioner, who was really guiding our student health on campus group. And she said, what do you really love to do? And I said, well, I love to read and write and speak and be with people. And she said, well, you can do that with a lot of different jobs. You don't have to be a doctor. And at that time, I was also a French major at Colby and was deciding whether or not I wanted to go abroad for a full year or a half year, which was a requirement to go at least a half year. And after that conversation, I decided that I was going to go for the full year. And I was going to really dig in to my French studies, and I became a double major in religious studies. Both of those things, surprisingly, now play quite a big role in the work that I do in healthcare because of the sheer number of folks that we work with from different countries. And honestly, right now in Greater Portland, French is a huge language that's being spoken these days. So that's been really fun. So anyway, followed my heart again, and was grateful for the influence that that nurse practitioner had on me. After Colby, I knew that I wanted to do something in healthcare administration or public health, and I elected not to take any time off. I actually went right into what I was hoping would be a career for me, which was a major in health communications at Emerson College and Tufts Medical School. So I did half of my coursework at the medical school and the other half at Emerson, which really combined kind of my love of sciencey things without being, I did have to do a cadaver lab, but that was only one class. And otherwise, I got to actually like learn about science and health, but not do the actual physical part of caring for other people. Clinically. And so it was a great experience. It was 2 years down in Boston. And I think throughout that time frame, I was able to have several internships that really helped to also shape the trajectory of what I did after I finished school. And one, actually, Michelle, you and I had a similar experience. We both worked at Swordlick Marketing Group, and that was another opportunity for me to be influenced by someone in a certain direction. And she was an account manager, and I was marketing, honestly, McDonald's and White Rock Distilleries, so fatty food and alcohol, which was really lovely, except that I didn't want to market those things, and so. And that was during undergrad. And that was one of the reasons I kind of moved to Emerson and Tufts was I knew I liked that work, but I didn't want to be marketing those things. I wanted to be marketing something else. And that was health and wellness and activity and nutrition and things along those lines. And so this individual at Swordlick really helped me figure out a great path for that, which ended up being at Emerson and Tufts. And also during that time, I was an intern at the Mitchell Institute twice. I was there for 2 summers, and it was really incredible getting to meet the number of people that I met traveling around the state talking about the program. I was so incredibly proud to be an ambassador for the work that a few very mighty individuals on the Mitchell Institute staff were doing. And that really helped shape, my background in communications as well. So that's kind of where I ended in terms of like college and graduate school and some of the experiences I had working in between that influenced where I was.
That's great. And I think this is a theme that comes up often in these conversations around those certain people and those experiences. And you never know which ones they're going to be, but they can really change the way that you're thinking about your future. And it's great. It's great to have the ones that don't feel right, just as it is the ones that do. So obviously those had a huge impact on where you are now. I know you did spend a little bit of time actually working at the Mitchell Institute, and then you moved on to Maine Health, which is perhaps the last time I saw you. I'm thinking about you mentioning you're a runner. You were running, and you were running around a vaccine clinic at your Scarborough Downs location. And I was there just as a volunteer when working at L.L. Bean, and I just recall thinking how amazing the work that you were doing was, and all of your colleagues, and you had stood that up in such a short period of time. So that's obviously one small part of your 15 years spent at Maine Health. And so I'd love to just hear a little bit more about your career journey after you were through the college experience.
So, when I was finishing up at Emerson and Tufts, that was in 06, I actually got a call from the senator's niece, Mary Mitchell Friedman, who many of us know and love. She's very involved still in the Mitchell Institute. And she said, "I have a proposition for you." And I was thinking, oh, goodness. And her proposition was that the senator had reached out to her and asked if there was a scholar that the institute would suggest and that she would champion to serve in a major gifts coordinator role, really kind of working with the staff and the board to identify, donors to the institute, because of course we need donors to be able to, work with our scholars and supply the scholarships and all the other wonderful work that the institute does. And so for about a year, I got to work on that project, which was to really develop a strategy and work with individuals in Maine and beyond who would be interested in making substantive gifts to the institute. So I got to spend a lot of time with our board members. And one of those board members who happened to work and was getting ready to retire from TD Bank, his name was Mickey Green, and he also helped you, I believe, in the past, Michelle. And Mickey introduced me to Bill Caron, who was the CEO at Maine Health for many years. And Bill actually hired me as a program coordinator at Maine Health. And I started there working on a wellness initiative for employees and also with helping around physician education and quality. And so I really started at the bottom. I was doing a lot of administrative work, making packets and photocopies and, writing blog posts and things along those lines. And to this day, I can still do my own photocopying and mail merging and, things of that sort. And it's honestly a gift to continue to do those things because I know what my team is working on. I know how hard they're working on some of these seemingly small projects. And so I worked my way up at Maine Health. I became a program manager for cardiovascular health and heart failure. And then from there, I had 2 years in that role. And then I moved in to be a program manager for child health, which is where I spent the vast majority of my time at Maine Health. And I developed their immunizations program around increasing childhood and adult immunization rates in the state. A couple of big things that happened during those about 10 years were that I was an integral part of passing some major legislation in the state that required students to have certain vaccinations in order to go to school. And that was a huge win in my professional career, also because public health can take a very long time to show fruits of labor. And it was about a decade before we were able to pass that legislation. And then, probably the other biggest project that I got to work on was I had become a director of child health at this point. And then, when COVID happened, I was redeployed. That's a lot of us use that word, but honestly, it means reassigned. A lot of my work was put on halt in child health, and we moved, many of us moved into working in different areas. I was assigned to determine how to stand up both employee and community vaccine clinics around the greater Portland area. And then following that, I worked with a number of different schools to provide on-site vaccinations for students at schools. And that's a common thing that happens in a lot of other parts of the world and even other parts of the country. But here in Maine, we hadn't been doing a lot of school-based immunizations. And so it did require a lot of logistical planning and execution. And it was incredible. I will say it was almost like being deployed in some ways. I was not home very much for those few months that I was at Scarborough Downs was really my, I guess, the feather in my cap of that whole experience. And I got to vaccinate about, not me personally, but I got to oversee vaccination for about 1,800 people per day, which was absolutely incredible. And I just felt like a superhero during that period of time. We were working, sometimes 17, 18-hour days, and, trying to make sure that our community was safe. And I will always remember that time incredibly fondly, which sounds kind of silly, but we really came together as a team and as a community, I think, around that experience. And I felt incredibly proud of the work that our group did at that location and others. And then after that experience, I think a lot of people during COVID took stock of what they really wanted to be spending their time and energy on. And I realized I really enjoyed operations of healthcare and kind of project management on a bigger scale. And so I had a colleague that had been working at Greater Portland Health for a period of time and really embraced, after learning more about what she was doing, really embraced that mission and became determined to join Greater Portland Health, which is a federally qualified health center. And lo and behold, my colleague ended up moving into a different role here at GPH, and I applied for the chief operating officer position and was lucky enough to be selected and have been here for about 15 months now, which doesn't seem possible, but time really flies. And it has been a steep learning curve, but it's also been absolutely incredible work. It's probably the most purposeful work I've ever done. It's also probably the most tiring work I've ever done. And I say that after having done the work at Scarborough Downs. And, we're a small city, right? Portland is not a big place, and we're accepting, upwards of 2,000 plus new immigrant arrivals every, 6 to 9 months. And so it's a lot, but I've learned so much from the people that I work with, which do come from a lot of the communities that we serve, as well as the people who become our patients. Their resilience and their strength and their desire to provide a better life for their family really spurs me on a daily basis. When I feel like I can't do one more thing, I try to remember that I didn't have to walk from Central America to Maine or to the US, and that I can do one more thing if they can do that. So I really do feel very lucky to do the work that I'm doing, although I wish there was a little less of it, if I were to be honest.
That's amazing. And it feels like you probably started to understand what your purpose was, at least career-wise, at a maybe an early age. And as you've gone through the experiences, you've been able to sort of put a finer point on that and sort of, evolve that as you go. And you said that you felt, like a superhero. We also all felt that you were superheroes and still do,
Thank
and just appreciate all of that work that you did. In that storytelling of your journey, there were a lot of pieces of advice I think we were picking up along the way, excuse me. And I'm wondering if there are a couple of things that you'd love to leave with Mitchell Scholars, alumni, anybody who might be listening here.
I really do think that relationships, I know that's cliche. It really is cliche, but it's also true that the people you meet and the relationships you form are the basis of your personal and your professional experience. I think they're the basis of the human experience. And being able to have folks that cared about me and wanted to see me succeed and wanted to learn about me as a person and as, a professional, just made a huge difference. It ended up coming down to, honestly, I credit the Mitchell Institute with helping me start my entire career. I was able to get the internship at Swordlick Marketing Group through the Mitchell Institute. I was able to meet folks at MaineHealth through a board member of the Mitchell Institute. I was encouraged to pursue my dreams by the team there. Just so happens that I became close enough as I was working there for my first ever job that my boss, who happened to be the director of development at the time, married my husband and I. And, I think that just just forms the basis of everything that you end up doing. Find the people that care about you, find the people that want you to be successful, and lean on them.
It is so true. And, you know, just thinking back to some of the names you were mentioning in the early days of the Mitchell Institute and today, you know, there are people that are still so tightly connected to this organization. And those relationships are so critical to all of our journeys. And we're so appreciative for those. So I'd love to wrap up with what we like to call a lightning round. And in this, we just will, I'll say one word to you and you tell me the first thing that comes to mind. All right, let's start with learning.
Lifelong process.
Community.
The basis of everything, and love.
And mentorship.
One of the most important things you can receive and one of the most important things you can give. I think paying mentorship forward is incredibly important. And I know I'm not supposed to say more than a few words, but I think that as we go about our lives and our careers, paying that forward to other people coming up through the ranks is something that you can do that doesn't cost anything and that can make all the difference for someone.
Couldn't agree more. And what a perfect way to end. So Cassie, thank you so much for your time. It was wonderful to be with you and we're really looking forward to sharing your story.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for today's episode of Scholars Speak. To learn more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn.